This Get Made? Hey, everybody. Welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joining you for the next, 10, 15 minutes to tell you everything that you need to know about next week's movie and everything that you might have missed from last week's movie, the classic Face Off. And boy, oh boy, you guys had some very good points. That'll be coming up in just a bit. But first, wanted to let you know that the show that I did with June and that Jason was a guest star on, NTSF SDSUV, is now available on Hulu for free. You don't have to buy anything. All you have to do is watch it. It's free. Three seasons, all up there. I think there's like 30 plus episodes. And here's the best part. Because it's so short, only 11 minutes and 20 seconds an episode, there's no commercials. So just get in on that. Watch those shows back to back on Hulu, NTSF SDSUV. Amazing guest stars from J.K. Simmons to Max Greenfield to Ray Liotta. Martin Starr's in it. Kate Mulgrew's in it. Karen Gillan. Oh my gosh, the show's so good. Rebecca Romaine, you're going to love the show. I think you will. So enjoy it for free. What do you got to lose? Okay, here's the deal. Two of the greatest performers ever decide to do a movie, but instead of reading the script, instead of working on their characters, they decide to take a giant, giant shit on everything in its path. That's right. I'm talking about the 1996 version of The Island of Dr. Moreau, starring Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando. That's right. We are doing a movie that is literally considered one of the worst big budget films ever. There's actually a documentary about this movie because it's so bad. That's the level that we're talking about. Now, some movies are bad, but most of them don't have a documentary pointing out how bad they actually are. I have to have you listen to the trailer. And again, the trailer makes this movie a million times cooler than it could possibly be. But take a listen, and you'll really have to listen because it's not super dialogue heavy. Because none of the actors really speak in the actual movie. Here we go.
On the sixth day, God created man. On the seventh day, he rested. And on the eighth day, in the year 2010, in a remote laboratory, an exiled scientist created something impossible. Unmistakably human, undeniably animal, on the island of Dr. Moreau.
I'd like to present my children.
Father?
Oh my God.
From director John Frankenheimer, H.G. Wells' most terrifying creation. About the line that separates man from beast.
What's going on?
And the notorious doctor who dared to cross it.
We are men because the Father has made us men.
Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer, David Thewlis. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
A movie trailer that is all voiceover. So good. You didn't have to use your imagination, but basically there are like hyena people running around and there's like shots of the sun and there's a lot of jungle music. Boy, oh boy, this movie. I definitely recommend you watching it. You can check it out on Amazon, right? Yeah, or you can check it out on iTunes. You can find these movies. I'm not going to explain to you where you can do it. If you want to find out any information about us or anything about the movie or anything at all, you can follow us on Twitter at HDTGM. We have updates there, especially if you're coming to our live shows. The New York shows have been announced, but they're on Facebook and Twitter, so check it out there. Okay, last week we talked about Face Off. Now, there might have been a few things that we left out, things that we misunderstood, or things that we were just plain wrong about. And this is your chance to say, "You were wrong. I was so right." It's time for corrections and omissions.
Hey, hey, listen up. We're smarter than you. Shut the fuck up.
You tell us we are wrong, but we're right. It's corrections and omissions.
All right, these are corrections and omissions culled from our Earwolf message boards. These are the best ones. And you guys surprisingly didn't have that many corrections and omissions. I guess we really kind of covered it. But the ones that you brought up were quite good. Okay, so a big question in this movie is science, right? So we're going to get into the face-off of it all, but let's get into some other science in the movie. Blart2D2, I like that name, Blart2D2, brought up a point, made me laugh twice in a row, said something else I noticed on the topic of this movie's blatant disregard of the laws of science. The main prison guard tells Archer that the entire prison's one big magnetic field, and within 30 seconds it cuts to a shot of banks of monitors and computers. If it's a magnetic field as powerful as he said, wouldn't all those hard drives be zapped and monitors be ruined? Science. Fuck it. Yes, that was something. Basically, I think this is an example of when a director's like, fuck it, we don't need to explain it. And it works because I never realized that. But yes, you are 100% right. Computers would be fried if it was that much of a magnet. And I don't think it's good for your body, probably your fillings. There's probably a lot of problems with the magnetic field. Seanathon shared with us his tattoo, which you can see here on earwolf.com. It's an amazing tattoo. I'm going to describe it for you. It's John Travolta's face with a line around the rim and a little bit of blood coming down. And he's smiling, and there's two knives underneath his neck, like kind of like a skull and crossbones kind of style. And written in beautiful calligraphy on kind of a bow is, "I want to take his face off." And he wrote, "I was torn between this and I could eat a peach for hours." Seanathon, you made the right choice. That is a fucking badass tattoo. I think you did it, bro. You fucking did it. What do you think of this? Take a look at this tattoo. You like this tattoo?
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You got to look on earwolf.com. Check out this tattoo. Well, actually, we even put it up on the you go find it. It's great. Okay. Another omission during the scene in which Travolta as Cage is about to have his brain fried in the prison, we can see a cabinet with the iGen logo on it. iGen is the genetics company that brought dinosaurs back to life in Jurassic Park. Is there a connection? Does it mean that Face Off exists in the same cinematic universe as Jurassic Park? And if it does, what about the possibility of genetically recreating dinosaurs that can switch faces? Holy shit. It's great. Another picture on the Earwolf boards here. That probably was an old prop in a prop house from Jurassic Park, and they just took it for Face Off. That's amazing. I hope that they could switch a raptor's face with a T-Rex's face, because that would just be a fucking kick-ass monster. And I think that's actually the premise of Jurassic World. So there you go. You actually you got a multi-billion dollar summer blockbuster right there. Face Off predicted it again. Harry Charles writes in with a rewrite suggestion. I don't know how to say this exactly. This is me speaking as Harry. I don't know how to say this exactly, but I love this movie for how batshit crazy it is. But I would love it more if it just made a little bit more sense in one specific area. Sean Archer's decision to go through with the face switch makes zero sense. No one would ever agree to do something that risky and insane unless they were a maniacal psychopath with nothing to lose, which this movie actually happens to have. Why not write it so that Caster kidnaps Archer, switches their faces, infiltrates the FBI, and simultaneously sends his nemesis to prison? That way you wouldn't have to worry about why Archer lies to his family, risking so much for a plan that is anything but foolproof, and why Troy wakes up and no one else is informed of the face switching. You could still do the prison escape and the family switch. You could even make it so that Archer accidentally kills Troy's kid, giving him a reason for the crazy revenge plot and making it a good person have to wrestle with more of a complicated emotional arc. I think every aspect about the reverse scenario is much better, but of course I do because it's my idea. Thank you for reading. Sincerely, Harry Charles. Harry, I can't argue with you. That's a fucking solid plan. It makes way more sense for Cage to capture Travolta and then run this whole thing because it's so convoluted the other way. You wouldn't lose a thing. You would still gain everything. It would just make way more sense. Harry Charles, stop writing on the forum and start writing movies. "I'm a Nerd Baby" writes, "Did anyone notice that Travolta is personally responsible for the death of two of his men in the airplane hangar? right? One guy is facing Caster Troy, ready to take him out, and Travolta screams, "Get down!" making the guy turn around towards Travolta, and he's immediately shot dead by Cage. Then 2 seconds later, another guy, seemingly out of harm's way, in his ready position, gets shoved down to the ground and leaped over by Travolta, and again he screams, "Get down!" and that agent also is immediately shot multiple times, while Travolta is unharmed above him. Oh, Travolta's a bad cop. You know, he's just so angry. He's angry that his son is dead, that he doesn't care about the lack of life anymore. That's why he didn't want to celebrate. That's why when everyone was having champagne, he's like, "Don't celebrate! I killed most of my team." Not Caster Troy. And then Maskell Rascaskell, oh man, mispronounced that. I think it's Maskell the Rascal, writes, "Omission. I feel that they missed a great opportunity with Joan Allen's character. They could have ended the movie with her pregnant. But is it Caster Troy's baby or Sharon Archer's baby?" Oh, great ending. Guys, between you and Harry Charles, you guys are both just killing it on the rewrite front. Okay, now let's get into the science of face switching. Jillian LaFave writes, "I have a huge question regarding the science of this movie." Surprise, surprise. How the hell did they switch their teeth? They explain the face, the hair, and the voice adequately. But the teeth, they would have had to switch skulls for that to work. I mean, or at least gloss over something with dental sounding to explain it. I wanted to be on board with the idea, but the teeth were so distracting. Wow, you really went in for the nitty-gritty. But now that I know that, you're 100% right. The teeth make no sense. Holy shit, Jillian. Now, you can't enjoy anything, though. If you're looking at it on that level, this movie is about men getting their faces swapped, and you're like, "I buy it, except for the teeth." I'm going to tell you, you got to suspend disbelief a little. Give me a little bit more. You're going to have a miserable life if you don't just give it up just a little bit. Okay. And now, our good old friend, Avril Haley, writes into us, and she goes, "Before the face-switching scene, the doctor comments to Travolta that his love handles will be removed, right? Because they have to thin him down to be Nick Cage. But now at the end, do you think that they switched him back to put his love handles back on?" Man, well, I think, you know, John Travolta is a admirable guy, and I think he doesn't want to get the easy way out. He doesn't want to get his stomach stapled. He wants to go back to being fat John Travolta. But you're right. He looks exactly the same, no thinner. So love handles are going on, love handles are coming off, and I think that, you know, if you're a good doctor and you're into the face-switching technology, which is also body-switching, lipo, they had to inject some fat back in there. So, yeah. Why did he do it? Because he's a good fucking cop. And finally, I'm going to just go ahead and call it as the winner. The best comment comes from Amy Spellmeyer, who writes, "So, in Mockingjay, there are two cameramen that follow Katniss around, and they're named Castor and Pollux. Is this a secret homage to Face Off by Susan Collins?" I bet you it is. Susan Collins is a huge Face Off fan, and all of her work has something inspired by Face Off. Amy, you did the Lord's work. You got the winner of the Corrections and Omissions Award. That was a deep pull there. Amazing, amazing find. I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to just say that you won this week, even though our rewriters, Harry Charles, and of course, Maskell Rascal, both came up with some solid rewrite technology. And the teeth, everybody, you guys are all in top form. You're all winners in my book, okay? Go out, buy yourself a beer or a nice ginger beer if you don't drink, and enjoy it, because you're all winners in this victory parade of Corrections and Omissions. All right, that is it for Corrections and Omissions. All right, let's get into it, people. Would this movie be better with Nick Cage? Now, I know this is a question we always ask. Nick Cage is in this movie. So the only thing I can say to you is, would it be better if he switched parts? But technically, he does switch parts. So I have to go, could he do the other side of it? And honestly, I think yes. Nicolas Cage could do the bad guy part, but he's done the bad guy part. And he's excelled at it. I think he picked the right part. Right now, the judgment is everything stays the same. It is good with Nick Cage, and it's correctly cast with Nick Cage. Jury's out. Tunk, tunk. It's good with Nick Cage. All right. Now let's get into something that I love. That's right. Something that I want to tell you guys about. Something that we need to talk about. Because we talk about a lot of things that we like, ironically. But now it's time to talk about things that we love realistically. And I'm going to talk to you about a movie called The Kingsman. The Kingsman is awesome. I was a big fan of Kick-Ass. I know some people did not like the movie Kick-Ass. I love Kick-Ass 1, 2. Well, yikes, what happened? But Kingsman 1, I assume it's going to be a 1, is so good. It's like a new James Bond, but it's super violent. It's dirty. It's cool as shit. It's Mark Millar, who does a bunch of great comic books. And I think you're going to really love it. Colin Firth, total badass, a bunch of Brits. And it's not like Cody Banks. It's not like a kid superhero movie. These are kids that can drink and they're violent and it's cool. You got to check it out. Also, amazing performances by the old guard of all the British people that you know. They got Michael Caine in here, killing it on every level. Samuel Jackson doing a performance that is, I think, my favorite Samuel Jackson performance to date. So fucking funny. So check out The Kingsman. I think it's coming out on DVD soon. It's still in theaters. That's how I saw it. So The Kingsman is my love it. And that's what I got for you. Now it is time to help you with your miserable lives. It's time for Q and A's. You give me Q's. I give you A's. Hit the theme. Okay, let's start off with a dirty one. Jeff Mullen writes, would you rather have your penis shaped like a pineapple or all pineapples shaped like your penis? Well, that's a great question. Something I really have thought about a great detail. Here's the thing. If I'm going to go either way, I have to go either way here. I'm going to have to say that I want my pineapples shaped like penises, because having a penis shaped as a pineapple is just going to be cumbersome. I got to carry a lot of shit in my pants, and the last thing I need to do is have a really bulgy crotch area here, all right? So I'd rather eat something phallically all the time. And I mean, kind of, pineapples are kind of, I mean, they're at least cylindrical, you know? So I'm going to go that way. I'd rather eat penis apples than have a pineapple in my pants. Jeff Liddell writes, fuck, marry, kill, Ronald McDonald, the Hamburglar, or Grimace? First of all, You gotta kill McDonald, okay? You gotta fuck Grimace because that guy's crazy in bed. And you gotta marry the Hamburglar because there's something very rogue about him. He's a sexy guy. He's out there, you know, stealing for his family. I like what he represents. You know, we'll have a lot of fights, but a lot of passionate lovemaking. And of course, you know, that's what I would say about that. Maddie Lepper writes, have you guys thought about filming the live shows? Yeah, we have, but why? This is a podcast. Let's not break the format. We don't need to go out and about, okay? We keep in our formats, okay? If we wrote a book, we're not making it into a movie. If we made a TV show, we're not adapting it to a movie. We're keeping it along the lines. Listen up, Hollywood. Stay in your lane. Tom Haskins writes, will Nundercover ever be a blacklist table read? Ooh, good question. Well, we'd have to actually write a script. And right now we're still a lot of the developmental CGI levels of Nundercover. But speaking of the blacklist table read, you guys should listen to it over on Wolf Pop, reading the best scripts. Actually, Jason Mantzoukas and I are in the first one called Balls Out, and you can listen to all four episodes right now on wolfpop.com. It's a really funny comedy, so that's me doing a cross plug in there too. Kyle Roberts writes, do I have poop in my beard? Kyle, unfortunately, you do. You got poop in your beard. I don't know how you got poop in your beard. Maybe you were wiping and you went to go, you know, touch your beard, as we're all often to do when we have a beard, and you didn't wipe well enough. I think what you got to do is you got to get a wet one. You got to get a wet one, or you got to get one of those wet wipes and just get it out there. It's going to smell. It's going to be rough. Or just shave the beard, because really, if you have poop in your beard, you're not responsible. You're not a responsible beard wearer, okay? So get it out of there. Mattis Granatella, whatever, your name is fake and made up. He says, is June real or does she live on Skype? Guys, June is real. And as a matter of fact, she will be in studio next episode. That is my guarantee. I guarantee you that. Okay. And now I'm going to, everyone's asking, where is June? Where is June? Well, you guys can actually watch June right now on Netflix in a new Netflix show called Grace and Frankie. She's there, and she's going to be, you know, we're all going to be a little bit out of the country for the next little bit. So get used to being in and out. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. Okay. George Schmerber writes, OJ, Purple Stuff or Sunny D? Dude, I hate Sunny D. Purple Stuff, no way. I go classic OJ. I got tricked by those commercials. I thought Sunny D was going to be good. It's not. Okay. Tony Clifton writes, can I use your Squatty Potty? No, Tony, you got to get your own, and you have to experience the beauty of Squatty Potty. Look, Squatty Potty doesn't even pay me, and I'm going to tell you, it's the best thing on the market. Go to the bathroom for the first time with Squatty Potty, or just shit with freedom. Ladies, dudes, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone loves Squatty Potty. They're not even paying me to get behind it. I love it. Robert Cook writes, why won't you take me to Funky Town? Dude, because you go too crazy. You hit that person. All right. You get all messed up on that alcoholic cider. And I can't take you there because I don't trust you. I don't trust the way you act and your opinions. Oh, man. Always talking about the wrong stuff. All right. Yes, we saw Terms of Endearment. We don't need to hear a 10-minute discussion about how Terms of Endearment is the original Sopranos. We get it. Okay. That's all for Q&A's because I'm running out of time because I have to actually get out of here for another podcast recording. But if you want to send us anything, you can send us stuff at How Did This Get Made? Care of Earwolf Media, 5629 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite 66, Los Angeles, California, 90028. And thank you to Nate Kiley, Brett Morris, Earwolf, everybody else, Leanna Waldron, and of course, Avril Halley. The movie next week is The Island of Dr. Moreau. Watch the theatrical version, not the director's cut, on iTunes and Amazon. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.